Lord, I want to thank you tonight for this time of studying the Word, time in the Word, and we praise you. Thank you that your Word is alive in us right now, praise God. Thank you it's alive. We might not feel like it. Maybe something bad happened today or last week or even in our bodies, even now. I want to thank you that the Word of God is alive, working in us. The Holy Ghost is quickening our bodies, helping us to be strong. So you said, be strong in the Lord, and so we're going to be strong starting right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We fix our minds on the Word of God. We imagine, Father God, the Word of God is before our eyes always. And we say, God's Word works all the time. Thank you, Lord. Mighty Holy Spirit, we invite you. We thank you that you're glorified Jesus. Help us to see him as the omnipotent, the almighty God. And we thank you, Lord God. We give you the praise and glory for what it will do tonight. This word will change lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen.
It just keeps on getting better.
Thank you, Lord God. Steadfast to the end, remaining steadfast, being unchanged. Immovable. Glory to God. We need to be people that are unmoved. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what somebody said. We're not moved by what the doctor said. We're not moved by what statistics are telling us. We're not moved by the sun or the moon or the stars. We're moved by the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. We believe in the Word of God. The Word of God is solid. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. I'm going to ask you to focus on the last phrase of that scripture verse. So I'll start reading. It says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And Jesus is speaking about, talking to the Jews about the last days. You know? The best Bible interpretation I heard is, who's talking? Who's he talking to? And what are they talking about? That's the best way to interpret the Bible. Well, Jesus is talking to the Jews. And on the last days, there's going to be some horrible events, tough times. You know, we think about, you know, the world should be getting better. Well, it should be getting better. We're progressive in our technology and maybe our modern, you know, efforts and discoveries. But the scripture said it ain't going to get any better. And it's going to get tougher. But we are people who are tough. We're made for this time. We understand that God will help us no matter what's going on in our lives. Anybody had a bad day today? Anybody had a bad day? Tough day today? Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? I had a tough day today. Somebody invited me for chicken, and I refused the moment. But I've changed since then. So if anybody was asking me for some chicken, I'm going out. Anybody going? No? Okay. No one's going right now, but you might change in a moment. Look at that last phrase. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. You know, if you'll ask maybe some modern Jewish people about Jesus, they say, well, he's a good man. You know, he's a Christian. He's a God of the Americas. Or the God of the Christians. But we have Jehovah. But they don't understand that Jesus is God's Son. And many people don't understand that. But there's tough times. He's talking about the tough days ahead for these people. But he talks about, you know, you have to, if you're going to give Jesus, these people, if you're going to give Jesus Christ, make him Lord of your life. And even back in the day when Paul was preaching and before that, if you give Jesus lordship of your life, you could lose your property, you lose your family. Your family can be, they'll turn against you and because you believe in Jesus. If you read the you know, different books, you'll see that, you know, in the New Testament, you'll see that the people, they lost property in the book of Hebrews. And you can see that in different chapters in the Bible. The book of James. James was a pastor there in the Jerusalem church. He pastored that church, and there was trouble. And you look at the book of Acts, and they persecuted the Jewish Christians, people who believed in Christ, and they lost property. And you, if you confess Jesus, you know, you're going to suffer tough times. And all that, what Jesus represents. And for us, when we confess Jesus, it means a whole lot more than just getting saved when you die or going to heaven when you die. It means more than that. It means a whole lot of things. Confessing Jesus, you know, he represents our deliverance, our healing, our peace. And so when you accept Jesus, you know, you might feel some, you know, you might get some little bit of attack coming on in your life to make you quit. And that's why James 1 says, you know, my brothers, count it all joy when you come against divers temptation, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith will prove endurance or prove to the end. And sometimes you have to stand strong. Be strong. It's not time to be weak. Amen? So I don't know what your situation is. I can tell you some of my stuff, but there's tough times coming ahead. Notice that last phrase again, but he that endures to the end. You know, you have to endure tough situations. Maybe you're believing God believe. Maybe you've been standing for years. 10 years, maybe 20 years. You believe in God for something. Maybe you're believing. You know, some people, they're getting tired because they're trying to believe for something, healing or deliverance. Or your husband is drunk every day, and you're standing in faith to believe that he's going to change. Well, one thing about it, you can change yourself first, and God will work a miracle. Hallelujah. I want you to notice Galatians 6:9 says this. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary. That's being tired. Getting weak. Let us not be weary in well doing. You know, sometimes people in church, they get tired of serving. Things happen to them. They get offended. They want to quit. Because something happens to them, and you know, you have to understand. You if you work in churches and stuff like that, you know, you have to learn how to serve. You know, nobody puts you on a construction crew and makes you go to work if you have any training. You need training. I mean, you work in the kitchen, and you don't just put somebody in there that doesn't understand about working with hot, you know, whatever things, right? You have to train. You can cook yourself. you could get fried or whatever. The other day I was cooking something. I mean, my wife told me to go and make some hamburgers. She said, "Here's the make. You know, go and barbecue these hamburgers." So I went in there and I turned on that barbecue. How many even know that barbecue sometimes it don't work when you want them to work? Something's going on, you know. So I turn on everything, and you know, I press a button, nothing's happening. You know, I press some more button, turn it back off, and turn all the switches back off. Turn on the main, you know, the main vein there, and put the other things, and turn it on again. Nothing happened. So I guess I just let it sit there a couple seconds longer, and I press it again, and boom, and I was flying. It just burned my hand, and I was just sore for a while. And I wondered why I was still sore the night time. Why is my hand sore? Oh, I remember I blew up a little bit here. you know, you have to, you know, things happen like that sometimes. You know, you sometimes you go through different difficulties in your life, and and you want things to happen quick, and you know, it doesn't happen that fast. But it says here, let's not be weary in well doing, for in due season. Everybody say due season. Well, what time is due season? Or somebody always say, well, I'm going to wait till due season. What time is that? So I can just get ready to receive here. Well, due season is always when, you know, everything is taking too long. Due season is sometimes when you want something, but it's not there yet. Due season is sometime. I don't know when, but it's happening. Due season. But it says in due season, we shall reap. We shall reap. And I think you're talking about weeping. You shall weep. No? Reaping is, you know, receiving the reward. Whatever you believe in God for, you're going to receive the reward. I tell you, sometimes, you know, I've been standing for different things, you know, we're believing God for different things, projects, you know, some people quit on us sometimes because we're believing. We're crazy enough to believe the Bible. So you say, you're out of your mind. I said, thank God I'm out of my mind. I'm in the mind of Christ, you know, I'm believing the Bible now. You know, some of you, you know, you need to get out of your mind. You need to lose your mind. Get into the mind of God. And He's got better mind than you. We shall reap. What happens? It's just a little word that says, if we faint not, that means you quit. So we're not quitters. We're trusting the Lord for different things. We're not going to, you know, quit before due season. Here's my point in all this tonight. My proposition of this message. Here's the punchline. When you're walking by faith, you have to keep your eyes off the clock. Keep your eyes off the clock. You can't put a time limitation on what you're believing for. You can't say, Lord, I'm going to do this for 24 hours, you know, 1 week, 1 month, 1 day. I'm going to just do this for 2 years. I'm going to believe only for 5 years, then I'm quitting. The Bible says we will reap if you faint not. Either, you know, you quit too early or you're not really believing. What is it? And so we've been teaching on faith. Last Sunday we quit a little bit. We didn't do what we're going to do. But Sunday, they told me, I had, Pastor Ken told me, that was the best service I ever been to. And all he says that was the best message, you know, on Father's Day, and it really touched my heart. And different ones told me the same thing, you know. Even Max told me that. Max said, "Man, that was wonderful," you know. And maybe I shouldn't get ready, you know. I should just show up once in a while like that again, last time, you know. But you know, we can't put a clock or time limitation on something when we're believing. We don't put a time limit if we're believing God for something, because sometimes things take long and you have to wait for somebody and God has to work in their lives. You're ready, but they're not ready, and God will work through their lives and God will speak to them if you're believing. And, you know, you don't quit. You know, you act like, you know, you believe in those people. The Bible says that love, I believe that I read that this morning, believes the best of everybody. You believe God's working in them. And so we need to refuse to be weary in life, because you'll have many obstacles. You know, I heard somebody said that life is not like an expressway. It's not like a straight highway. Life is like, you know, the roads go one way, this way, and the other way, they curve this way, and sharp turns, and up the hill, down the hill, in a valley, and going through bridges, and sometimes bumpy roads, sometimes washouts, and, you know, you get stopped, you have to slow down for different conditions. So, take that as a lesson, because it's not always that easy sometimes to believe something. If it was so, we'd all be having everything. We'd be just out of our minds right now. so to speak, just too excited, pulling your hair off. So you have to, the devil will cause, you know, will make sure you that you'll have hindrances. He'll make sure he'll put a hindrance on you, in your way. Just as soon as you get a good scripture, the devil's right there next day, next hour, trying to tell you, deter you, and distract you. Get your eyes off the will of God, the word of God, so that you can start to get into worry. 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 I guess that's how you say it. Worry. If some of you guys understand, I have to pronounce these words, English words, especially with some limitations I have lately. Amen? But you have to pray for me. Okay? I know you're praying for me. Thank you very much, sir, mister. So, it says here in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul is talking to the church there. He says, wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Sometimes you're making good progress, and then Satan tries to, you know, he does his best to hinder you, slow you down. How many people you know that the devil can slow you down, but he can never stop you? He will. He'll slow you down, you know, and you get upset a little bit, and, you know, and you get over that, and you say, hey, I'm getting back on track again. And so we can't be weary. We can't get tired. We have to see what God's word says. So when you walk by faith, we don't have to give in to weariness. You know, if you get tired, you don't have to give in to it. It's up to you to give yourself into being weary. But you don't have to. Not if you're walking by faith, but if you're walking on your own, yes, you will give in to it. Even when doors are open and the devil will play against us, but we can overcome him every time. We can't be uninformed about what he does and how he operates in our lives. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that Satan, lest he would get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So you have to know your opponent. You know, the Bible says that in 1 Timothy 6:12 that we fight the good fight of faith. That word fight speaks, the word there speaks of an opponent. That you have an enemy. And then he's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to hinder you and stop you. And so he'll come in there. He'll do his best get you into a disadvantaged situation. And you get all crying for yourself and start feeling sorry for yourself and complaining. And pretty soon you're in a mess. And that's why it's good to be with Christians who believe God. And if you're all alone, it takes you a whole lot longer to figure things out. We're not meant to live alone as Christians. That's why it's good to marry a good man, a good woman of God by faith. And when you're down, they pick you up. Amen? So thank God for a good man, a good woman in the Lord. You can feel weary, but not moved by it. You'll reap if we don't give up. If you get into faith, stay in faith until you get the results that you desire. There's no one who walks by faith that didn't get any results. You know, sooner or later, the results will come. You know, so you're going to get, you know, you might have a setback in your life sometime. You get a setback, but, you know, you might get sick maybe one time, and all of a sudden you got another thing happening there, and, you know, sometimes it comes bombarding you. And it's good to recognize and reach for the Bible and quote the scripture, and the word of God is there to tell you that you can make it. Amen? So Hebrews 3:14 says this, for we are partakers of Christ. If we hold to the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. You know, the word confidence has reference to faith. Because, you know, having confidence means you have faith. Having no confidence means you don't have faith. Like it says, you know, we read last night, I believe it was the scripture, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petition that we have desired of him. Yeah. You know, that's why knowledge of the word of God is so wonderful, because you might look like you're going to lose the battle, but if you got the word of God, you're gonna come out of it. You're going to come right out of it. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Joseph. If you read in the book of Genesis, you'll see it in there. Joseph, you know, he was the youngest boy of the whole tribe there. And he had a vision. And in that vision, you know, he began to talk about what the Lord put in his heart. And he began to share that, even maybe too quickly, with some of his brothers. Maybe he shouldn't have said, you know, it's not always wise to tell everybody about your dream. Because sooner or later, the devil will come by and tell you, give you some help to quit by some people who will tell you that's not possible. His brothers, in fact, was jealous of him. How many people know that sometimes people can be jealous of what you got? Amen? Sometimes we ourselves get jealous a little bit of somebody, but we catch ourselves and say, hey, you know, we can have the same thing if we believe. Amen? So Joseph, he had a vision. He had to hang on to that vision. And he had to hang on to that vision for a long, long time. I think it was 30 years before he began to get that vision to come to pass. Some people just believe God for 2 years and, you know, maybe they hardly made it and they quit. They were half those 2 years, they didn't even actually believe. So Joseph had a vision. He wouldn't let go of it. God showed him that he is going to be a great leader. God showed him that he is going to be, in a situation where even his brothers had come bow down to him, as even his father. And he began to share that before the time. And so it's not wise to always share a vision with everybody that might not appreciate what you have. Tell the people that will appreciate and accept what you believe. So, you know, you have to wait a long time sometimes, but it's not over unless you quit. It's still not too late if some of you were believing God for a healing, or, you know, you've been believing for 5 years now, but don't quit. Hallelujah. It's going to come to pass, praise God. I mean, you believe in God for a grade 12 diploma, don't quit. Hallelujah. I mean, I didn't get my diploma yet. I don't know why I didn't get one. Well, I didn't have high school, I guess. But he waited. The Bible says he was 17 years old around there when the Lord began to call him. And then 30 years of age, you know, he even went to jail before that. I'm not going to ask people who went to jail, but, you know, sitting in jail, you don't seem like you can go anywhere. Huh? So Psalm 105, verse 17 to 19 talks about Joseph. It says that he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time, everybody say until the time. Until the time that his word came, and the word of the Lord tried him. You know, the word of the Lord can try you. And the word of God, you say, you know, is that true or what, you know? And so we have to be able to stand during the time of testing. You know, I was thinking about, I was listening to someone else preaching about Joseph the other day. Joseph was a young man. He was working for, Potiphar. And his wife wanted Joseph sexually. And Joseph was a nice man. He was carved pretty good, nice looking man, and had nice breath and just beautiful man. The Bible says, look, he looked real good, like some of you all right here tonight, you know. And, you know, he was full of testosterone. And, you know, I guess maybe he was pumping iron. I don't know what but he looked good. Apparently, the Bible said he looked real good, handsome man. He got some good genes. And the Bible said that woman looked upon Joseph and said, come sleep with me. Well, you know what that means. I don't have to tell you what it means. And the Bible says he refused. He said, I'm not going to sleep with you. You're my master's wife. I wouldn't take advantage of that situation. The master gave me, entrusted me with a lot of stuff, and I ain't going to do that. So the woman, you know, the Bible says, literally says, you know, young man or woman, flee youthful lusts. Run from it. Bible says that the woman grabbed that jacket, ripped his jacket, and he ran out, you know, but he had the jacket, but he left without his jacket. I guess whatever he had on there. And he told the story that this Hebrew boy was trying to rape her. And so he's put in prison. Now, you have to understand, before that, he came to, you know, Egypt. He was sold as a slave by his brothers. His brothers made a story. They hated Joseph, and they put him in, sold him to these traveling traders or something. And they sold him to Potiphar. And then, can you imagine that? His own flesh and blood traded them, sold him, told his dad he might have died. You know, maybe some wild animal must have got hold of him, killed him, ate him. We got here is his jacket. And he's gone through all this stuff, and he's put in jail. But he still had that vision on the inside. See, he had to wait and believe God and stay true. You and I have to stay true to the Word of God. No matter what's going on in our lives, it might not be working out the way you thought it's going to be. And the devil has thrown you in jail and got your brothers against you and accused you of different things, but you can't feel sorry for yourself. One of the worst things for a Christian to do is feel sorry for themselves when something happens, even if your own flesh and blood attacks you. How would you feel if you were like David, you know, flesh and blood try to kill him, to take advantage and steal his throne? And so, you know, you have to be able to withstand the tough times that you're going through. I don't know what your situation is. God does. And we have to remain true to the Word of God. We have to remain true, steadfast, and stay on the Word of God, no matter what's happening in your physical body that's telling you, it can't be done, it's impossible. But I believe God. Tell yourself, walk around, say, I believe God, the Word of God is true. You know, speak to yourself, talk to yourself about the Word of God, no matter how long it takes. You know, I've been talking about Brother Hagin over the years. He said, you know, I don't care if it takes me, you know, so many years. I believe that I receive. You know, I believe that I receive right now. And so we continue to stand in the Word of God. Now, we have to be able to see this life. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3 says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run it, or read it, run that read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not lifted up in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So it tells us, even in this instance, that the scripture we always look at, the just shall live by faith, you see that over and over in the New Testament. that sometimes you have to look at that vision, the vision of healing that's contained in the Word of God, the vision of whatever it is that's in the Scriptures. Feed on that. Read it to yourself. Whatever Scriptures that speak to about your victory. The Bible says write the vision. So why would you write the vision, especially, you know, if it will come quickly? The Bible talks about we have to not give in to circumstances and live by faith, because there's a whole pile of stuff can happen during the time you believe you receive something. If you believe you receive something, then you know the enemy will come in and try to steal that away from you by giving you symptoms and giving you bad reports. You know, well, you know, like people say to me, pray for me, I'm going to see a doctor next week, and pray that I'll get a good report. Well, you know, what if you get a bad report? We're not going by reports. We're not going by what the doctor said. We're going by what the Word of God says. What if you get a bad report? Are you going to quit? So we need to see that we're not living by what everybody else is saying. We're believing God. We're believing His Word. That's very unpopular to speak this way, because people want to believe, you know, whatever a professional is telling them. You got to believe the Word of God. And that's why you're in the condition you're in. You keep quitting. Start again. And you know, so don't give up. So faith works with patience. So they go hand in hand. Don't change. Stay the same. Remain steadfast. We are made partakers of the promise of God in Christ Jesus. So stay excited and stay expectant that, you know, things are going to happen. Hebrews 3:14 says, we are partakers of Christ if we hold out on the beginning with our confidence steadfast to the end. So we're going to be steadfast to the end. We will eventually inherit what God has said. The devil will try to keep you from being, he'll try to stop you from getting the Word inside you. He'll do whatever he can to keep you away from where the Word of God is being preached. Where people are, you know, gathered together to be, you know, in the comfort of the Scriptures. The Bible says here, here's something here that talks about in Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. Let's go to Luke chapter 8, verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon the rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell upon good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? He said unto them, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, seeing that they might see, and hearing they might not understand. And this is the parable. The seed is the word of God, and those that are by the wayside that hear, then cometh the devil, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts, lest that they should believe and be saved. They that on the rock are they which hear the word, receive the word with joy, and they have no root, which for would believe for a time of temptation, they fall away. That which fell among the thorns, that they which, when they have heard the word, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They bring no fruit to perfection. But that on good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth with fruit with patience. The last phase says, you know, with patience. But I want you to notice something else here about which has an honest and good heart. You know, you need to have to really make it, you got to have an honest heart. Be honest with yourself. You know, like, you know, you blame God, blame the devil for different things, but, you know, really, it goes to you. You have to be honest with what's your situation, that maybe you haven't filled up on the Word like you should. Maybe you're not meditating on the Word like you should. Maybe you're not as steadfast in the scriptures and the word like you should be. You're kind of just messing around, read the scriptures. Just because you read the Bible doesn't mean you got faith. Or read, watch television, Christian television, don't mean you got faith. Faith is something that you hear the word and you start, you know, meditating on that, start, you know, getting, putting it into operation, because you can have faith in your heart and still not have what you need. You know, people die with a heart full of faith. They die of sickness. They don't use that, you know. Just be honest. Sometimes, you know, you hinder your own self. Sabotage your own victory. It says that they also had no root. Many things he said unto them, saying, behold, this is Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 to 6. And he spake these many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell upon by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, and some fell upon stony places. They had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. We have to build a foundation. We have to build a root, build a deep root. If our roots are deep in the Word of God, we're not going to fall away. And we have to have some understanding. Matthew 13 says that the word got planted, but they lacked understanding, they fell away. And he spake many things unto them in parables. This is Matthew 13, 3 to 6. Behold, the sower went forth and sowed. He sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, had not much root, and they forthwith sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And the sun was up to scorch. They were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. So we need to understand, have an understanding of the Word of God, how it operates in our lives. And sometimes you have to understand what does it mean to endure? How do we endure? You know, we need to understand that. Some fell among thorns, it says in there. Well, it's going to be thorns in life. You know, you can't live in this world without being contaminated. We live in the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says. So Mark 4 says some were offended. They had displeasure of something. That's what happens to some people. They get offended and they fall away. Stony ground, they had no root. So we should see ourselves in light of Scripture and learn how to remain steadfast in the things of God. You know, the Scripture tells us we should be patient. You know, don't quit before your time is come around, because sooner or later you're going to reap. Praise God. Amen. We have to trust the Word of God. Put our faith in the Word of God. Let's go to Hebrews 12, and maybe we'll conclude with this verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank God for His holy written word, because without it, we'd fall away. Hebrews 12. He says, wherefore, seeing we're also encompassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, we have to be patient. We have to endure to the end. You know, keep moving on no matter what happens to into your life. It says here, we have to lay aside some things. You know, it says lay aside some weights. You know, those are not sinful things. They're just things that weigh you down in life. You know, there are things, activities that sometimes take away your time in the Word. You take away your time in prayer. You know, so you get distracted. You know, the devil will send you distractions and take you away. It might not even be something difficult. It talks about it, that we just read the Scripture. The pleasures of this life take people away. Not all the hard times. People go through time in their life, you know. They're believing God for something, and then something better comes up, it seems, and so they leave. Something was good over there, you know. Even sins, certain sins are pleasurable, and so they go and do that. And they lose a grip on their lives. So let's close one more scripture. We'll close with 2 Thessalonians. And then we'll look at a prayer. No, let's go to First Thessalonians 15. We'll conclude with the verse, two scriptures here. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, 58. Now it says here, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's something we have to remember. Everything that you need has already been provided for. You know, we try to somehow in our mind, we ask God to somehow create something for us to have a victory, but He's already done it. He's given us victory. It's hard to believe that if you're believing in your own self, if you believe your body. You know, I was listening to someone the other day. He said he was talking to somebody, you know, different ones. No matter what it is you're going through, maybe you have a problem with addiction. If it's food addiction, if it's drugs, if it's sexual addiction, all these addictions are there. You got to run away from that thing. You can't just, go take yourself back into an environment where you're tempted. You say, I'm going to go into the bar, sit around, and just say hi to my chums. I'm just going to give them the word. Sooner or later, you're going to be drinking. And don't go to a place, if you want to give up food or something like that, don't go to a big feast and say, I'm going to get out as soon as I eat that one thing, piece of whatever, I'm going to leave after that. No, you have to, the Bible says avoid it. Avoid those temptations. You look at Proverbs, you know, avoid, walk, you know. Remember about that story about that young man, the Bible says about the man, he's tempted by this seductive woman, and the man, the Bible tells him, don't go by that road. Get out of that road. Get away from her. Don't even go by that way. Run from it. So in those situations, we have to make sure if you're having, you know, I remember Pastor Rick, you know, he used to sell pornography way back before he was saved. He was selling this stuff, but way before, you know, those magazines and these videos all way back. Don't look at me like that. That's where his life was. He told us that. You were there, some of you. And then he said, you know, that was his life. He said, so when he goes to the, when he goes somewhere, he said, I never watched the television. I pull off that plug, you know, and I believe what he said. Yeah. And he said he pulled that plug off. He don't even watch television because he runs from it. He runs from temptation. To watch that stuff that he was attached to way before. And so, you know, we have to understand that. You know, this guy's a wonderful man of God. You know, he told us a story there not too long ago where Jesus took him up to heaven and showed him some things and showed him about Canada, what he's supposed to do here, you know, and that's why he's an apostle today. You know, the Lord brought him to heaven. Took him for a drive, you know. And so Paul is not the only one. I know other guys that say the same thing. People that I know, friends that I know, and if God wants to take me up to visit over there too, I'll take a drive myself, thank God. Amen. So, you know, we have to understand that the spiritual life, the spiritual world, is a real world. And so your healing and your deliverance, whatever it is right there. Now, verse 58 says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, because Jesus gives us the victory, he's talking about. He says, therefore, because Jesus gives us the victory, that we have victory through Jesus. Understand this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. So we have to stand strong no matter what it is. You know, sometimes the devil will tell you, you need to quit this because this is happening. You got to stand what God told you to do, stand fast, stand strong in the things of God. Be unmoved. Be immovable. Keep abounding. Keep doing the same things. Don't quit. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God. Amen. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the Word of God. The Word of God is true. Thank you, Jesus. Can anybody say, thank you, Lord? Say, God's Word is true. Say, I'm not a quitter. I'm steadfast. I'm immovable. I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord. Say, my day has come. My day has come. Thank God. Father, I believe that I receive, and I'm standing strong in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. I just pray for all the people that are here tonight, and watching even by television. I pray for you in the name of Jesus to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I pray for your deliverance. I pray for the Word of God that you need is right there for you. Thank you, Father. We send forth angels to help you to be in a place where you need to be. We give you praise, Father. And if you never received Jesus as Lord, this is a time, an opportunity for you, been afforded to you by hearing this, by the partners and friends. To say this prayer, say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. God sent you here to be my salvation. You suffered and died for me, and you went to hell for me, and you rose the third day by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God raised you. Now you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. I trust in you. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me my sin. I am your child. In Jesus' name, I'll live for you. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless every one of you. God bless you and bless you again. Amen. Hallelujah. Goodbye.